So, good morning. I am Kaylee, and I'm one of the founding directors of LVA Trust. Sue Petrie, wherever she's disappeared to, is there. She is is the other founding director of LVA Trust, and it is a ministry that was birthed in this community that Jake and I, my husband and I, were part of for nearly 10 years. And it is really a privilege to be back here speaking with family on a subject that I'm so passionate about. LVA is a charity that teaches relationship and sex education in schools and other youth settings. We do this through classroom workshops, assemblies, small groups, and one-to-one mentoring. Our core belief is that we are all loved, valued, and able, and our ambition is to encourage positive self-esteem and healthy relationships. We're currently working in the Richmond Borough, in the Hounslow Borough, and in the Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham in year groups 5 to 13. And our sessions are designed to ensure young people receive consistent, age-appropriate information, and all our lessons are built on the values of loving yourself, respect for one another, and rooted in healthy relationships. And we work in partnerships with school leadership teams, pastoral teams, other charities and external providers to ensure that this happens. And we also work with parents to help them nurture and guide their young people through adolescence. It doesn't like me. Down. Brilliant. So we have six core themes that we work within LVN, and within these core themes there are many, many separate subjects that we talk about, but I just thought I'd give you an overview. And if you wanted to find out a little bit more depth of what we teach within these core themes, then please do come and talk to us after. We'll all be standing around that little table out the back. So firstly, we have body image, and this covers the effect pornography in the media has on body image. Young people learn to love themselves, warts and all. Then we have online etiquette. So this covers the basics, such as how to conversate online, as well as online bullying, sexting, and the issues around pornography again. Relationships, so everything from building healthy behaviours in relationships to friendships, sexual relationships, and how to spot signs of abuse. Consent and coercion. So this topic covers the legal age of consent in the context of healthy relationships, but we also cover coercion and child sexual exploitation within this core theme. And then we have emotional well-being and self-esteem. So this topic gives young people the tools they need to look after their mental and emotional well-being, as well as self-esteem building tools. We also cover self-harm as an individual topic, something that we've been doing a lot more work with in the last year or so. And then finally, we have sexual health. So this topic covers pregnancy prevention, barrier contraception, STIs and unintended pregnancy. And we also have a session separate that covers teenage pregnancy, something that is also obviously very close to my heart, as some of you will know. So now you know a little bit about us. I am now going to introduce you to Emily. She is one of my mentees who I have had the privilege of getting to know over the past year. So I met Emily when she was in year 11 last year, and she's now in sixth form, and she's going to share a poem with us, which I'm super excited to hear. So do you want to come up, Emily?
Hello. Okay, I'm just going to go straight into it. I'm not good at these sort of things. The start to secondary school was perfectly fine. I was a typical new kid, always on time. I tried my hardest in class, my grades, they climbed. I looked up to my family and I began to mime. Year 8 was a breeze, I had plenty of friends. I just couldn't see, it was all about to end. And life was working out, you see, no need to pretend. I knew God had a plan for me and I intend to live it and love it and pray it doesn't end. Year 9 for me, it was a crazy ride. I wasn't my usual self. I got dragged by a tide. I didn't really focus. I lost the bounce in my stride. I guess I was real blue. I needed someone to confide. But who'd you turn to when your friends begin to hide? You can't find them anywhere. Your eyes are open wide. They're sitting somewhere new. The worst thing about it, they replaced you. Did they think of me? I doubt it. They didn't notice my need as they watched the phone ring. Up until it finishes, I know they're listening. I began to write a text whilst they disowned me. I was too hurt to finish it. Were we friends? You're a phony. I didn't want to be heard. I pulled out a CD. I'm in my zone. I learnt the lyrics word for word. I can do this on my own. Year 10 was a mess, a time that has scarred me. It broke me down, I confess. A lot of people hurt me. I didn't know what's best, so I turned out the lights. I threw it all in. I gave up on the fight. But someone heard me. My silence was way louder than the screams that made a journey. From the rage in my voice as a frightened young girl to the times I'd scream and hope it would travel the world. People needed to hear it, to see the cracks in the foundation. They symbolised beauty, strength and determination. Year 11 was rough. I had bad days and worse days. My mindset was in survival mode. I'm trying to juggle school and life. I was always out of class. I couldn't focus. My mind was just too loud. You can't change the hourglass. Just a couple more months now and I'll be sitting exams for each class. I was very secretive. My friends were unaware that a man in his 30s grabbed me, did things that weren't fair. He made me feel horrible and dirty. The pain from when he pinned me was an impact that was worse. I felt powerless. Please release me. He walks freely to this day, despite the many swabs I had. I pray God will make him pay for the damage, the impact, the repairs I've got to make, like finding motivation. To get out of bed each day, I needed application. I didn't really talk. I didn't want to feel. The pain that was lurking of losing myself was surreal. My way to get through it was to sit down and write. I guess my words prove it. I've got a lot of fight. I take what I have and I use it. One day you might be something other than a victim. Build and reshape yourself. Remove toxic feelings from your system. Take back the wheel. Steer yourself in your own direction. Because who you are is an appeal. You need to look past your reflection. The person I was, the person I hated, the person I've grown into and learnt that I've escaped. The grasp of their hands, the pressure from their weight. Feeling that I'm trapped. I cannot climb, but I wait. There's other ways around it. I found a new path to take. It wasn't fairly obvious. The old me began to wake. I would revise for hours and listen more in class. No more sad Sunday showers, just positive vibes to move past. A lot of people didn't have hope. They expected me to fail and to slowly fall. I followed a trail and I stood tall. I lost my balance a few times and took a lot of backlash. A lot of people talk, rumours spread real fast. My exam results were the shot that silenced the crowd. I passed with flying colours, my family were honestly proud. I guess my message to people who are still fighting is to never lose hope. There's always a shoulder to cry on, there's always a method to cope. For me, it's through my writing. It's a great way to elope. So lift your head up, show us your smile, focus on who you want to be and go the extra mile. Because if it's meant to be, then God will make it work. Thank you.
Wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Emily. We really, really appreciate you doing it. The lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
So here we go. So 1 John was written by the Apostle John, believe it or not, who walked with Jesus during his time on earth and witnessed his resurrection. It was written as a pastoral letter to several Gentile churches, that's non-Jewish heritage churches. And this is a letter of love, and staying woke or awake to false teaching. 1 John 4, verse 19, "We love because he first loved us," was the scripture that Sue and I built LVA upon when we first met around her kitchen table, roughly 4 years ago now. To be here preaching on this scripture is a real privilege and a real blessing to me, and It's such an encouragement for God's heart for this ministry, which I'll talk a little bit more as we go through today. During the summer, when I sat down to pray for what I was going to speak on today, I was just like, whoa. There are so many challenges and injustices that our young people face. These challenges and injustices include addiction, family breakdown, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, child sexual exploitation and trafficking, bullying and sexual identity, sexual abuse, coping with social media, relative perfectionism, superficial relationships, the devastating influence that pornography has on relationships and body image, and mental ill health. I mean, I could keep running the list, but I won't. You get the picture. So each one of these issues, I could speak for hours on, obviously, because each and every one of them needs to be brought into the light. They need to be addressed head on. But if I did that, we'd be here for days, and I know that wouldn't be approved of. So I sought the prayers of my faithful prayer warriors, and in my prayer request, I explained how during the summer, I'm always struck by how isolated I feel, even in the midst of being surrounded. And someone in the prayer group picked up on what I had said and inspired me to speak on isolation whilst being surrounded, the isolation that a lot of our young people that we work with feel. All the challenges and injustices that I mentioned previously, they are all born of isolation and loneliness, or they create it. So I figured, let's just get to the core of the issue today. I deeply relate to loneliness in the midst of being surrounded. So growing up, I was never alone. So those of you who know me know that I am one of 7 children, and I have a very large, wider family. Even as an adult, there are a few moments when I am alone. I have been with my husband since I was 15. I've got 4 children, and I was a mother when I was 16. So I'm always surrounded, always needed. But I've always had a deep sense of isolation. I always told myself, as a teenager especially, that I didn't fit. No one understood me. But people didn't actually care about me unless they actually wanted something from me. Those lies I told myself made me very hard to reach and quite prickly. Now, that started to change when I had my first child, but I only ever really get over that sense of isolation and loneliness through experiencing God's love, through his Holy Spirit, and through his people. But what has loneliness and isolation got to do with... What has loneliness and isolation got to do with our scripture today? Well, this is a beautiful passage in the Bible. And every time I read it, I find new depth and meaning. So love in various forms is mentioned 23 times in verses 7 to 19. It's a lot of times in one very tiny little part of a very big book. So what is this love that John is talking to us about? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, and it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. God's love through LVA is something that we hold in the highest regard. It is the first and most important word in our name. Tim Keller writes, and I really love this quote, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known but not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is what it means to be loved by God." We live in a time when communication has never been easier and information has never been more freely available. Yet this age has been dubbed the age of loneliness. And relational poverty is like a spreading disease. According to the Children's Society, almost a quarter of a million 10 to 15-year-olds are unhappy with their lives. They report that children's happiness is the lowest it's been in a decade. We are in a time when we have followers but not friends, likes but no love, comments and no conversation. We have contacts, connections, influencers, but and we prioritize me, I, and mine over we, us, and our. We can be surrounded by people and things, but we can still feel completely isolated and alone. And as I was praying over this talk, I had a real sense that God wanted me to use this time wisely. Now, I could stand here and give you stats and harrowing and upsetting stories of what we've come across. I could tell you about all our triumphs and breakthroughs as a charity, but the reality is, we all know the world we live in. We all walk with a limp, and we are all trying to cope with the trauma of living in a fallen world. And I believe that a lot of the isolation that we feel is down to us not being willing to be vulnerable with each other. However, the gospel requires our vulnerability. The good news of Jesus absolutely requires our vulnerability, not our professional pretender I'm fine selves, which we're all so good at. everyone in this room can impact a young person's life and speak into the isolation that they sometimes feel. But it starts with us willing to be vulnerable. So in one of my devotionals that I was reading, Torren Wells speaks about an old MTV program called If You Really Knew Me. In this program, the runners had large groups of students all over America fill in the blank, if you really knew me, you would know. Their hope was to end bullying through understanding, thinking that if students knew one another's struggles, they'd be more likely to express compassion over criticism to one another. The show would gather students in school gyms and instructors would give them a line in the middle of the room, and they would all have to stand at the back. And then the instructor would read statements like, if you really knew me, you'd know that I grew up in a broken home. If you really knew me, you'd know that I've been a victim of some kind of abuse. If you really knew me, you'd know that sometimes I feel lonely and scared, even amongst friends. For each statement that the student identified with, he or she would step forward, and eventually they would cross the line in the middle of the room. Then the instructor would ask them to look around the room, and with tears in their eyes, they would all see that their peers had all been facing similar struggles to them. Every single one of those students had crossed that line in the middle. People who they had perhaps prejudged, people that they may have overlooked. So Torren explains that this all happened in a school where there is no real surprise that most of the students, having no assumed relationship with Jesus, would have lives riddled with the fractures of sin. But he then goes on to explain that his friend used this very approach in a closing message that he was preaching to about 1,000 students at a youth conference, a Christian youth conference. Now, you think that the result might be a little different, you know, preaching to church kids. However, Torren explains that as his friend made penetrating statements like, if you really knew me, you'd know that I struggle with addiction, students step forward. If you really knew me, you'd know I have been sexually abused. Students step forward. If you really knew me, you'd know that I've contemplated suicide. Students step forward. If you really knew me, you'd know that I've felt deep rejection. Students step forward. Before long, over half the seats were empty and the altar was full. Now, I personally think a lot more people could have moved forward and came to the altar that day. Maybe they felt they were safer clinging to their full sense of comfort that superficiality can bring. Maybe they weren't ready to trust. But I can imagine, though, that for the people who were brave enough to go up to that altar call, they would have experienced deep healing and their isolation would 100% have begun to evaporate. So if I said to you all now, shall we give that a go? What's your internal response right now? I'm not going to ask us to do that. Don't worry. I'm not that mean. But if your internal response was a negative one, if you think that you might not have come up to the altar if I had made us do that, take it to the throne of grace. Take it to Jesus. He knows. If you're not ready to share with other people, you can share it with him. Because let's face it, if we can't trust anyone, there is one person we can trust, and that is Jesus. What I am going to ask you to do, though, because I like a little bit of interaction, is something a little bit less scary. So I'm going to ask you to turn to someone very near you and just tell them one thing that they might not know about you. I'm only going to give you 60 seconds because I know what you lot are like. You'll be here all afternoon. So just one thing, 60 seconds, one thing they don't know about you. Thank you. Okay, eyes front, mouths closed. Do I need to do a countdown? Should I do 5, 4, 3, silence please, 2. In one of the schools, that's what we have to do to get the focus back off the students. I quite like it. In the work we do at LVA, we can't directly talk about our faith and how it's actually God's love through us that is speaking life, love, and light into young people's lives. So we have to make sure that we are showing God's love. In verses 10 to 12 in our passage today, John tells us plainly what it means to love. He says, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and he is made complete in us." Now, over the past 3 years at LVA, I've always struggled deeply with not being able to testify with my words everything that God has done for me and is doing through me. I've wrestled with it deeply, but the more I wrestle, the more convinced I become that for me, speaking about my faith, speaking about Jesus is really easy. It's like water off a duck's back. You can't shut me up once I start. But loving with my heart, through my actions, without judging people, without condemnation, that's the hard part for me. And that is where total surrender and trust come in, because I can't do it on my own. I am human, and I naturally go to judgment and places that, you know, supposedly Christians shouldn't go, but we're all human, and it's only God in me that can create that love without judgment. It's not me. And God has been so kind in my struggles and gives me constant encouragement that he is with us all in this ministry. And one of those encouragements came from our very own Catherine Brown. And she won't mind me sharing this message. She didn't want me to bring her up. Chicken.
I'm joking.
Did you say you don't mind? Come on then. So Catherine was being shown round at one of our schools, Hampton High, a couple of weeks ago, and this is the message that she sent me.
I was looking around for our son Joshua, and there were two lovely girls showing us round, and I hadn't been there before. I never looked when we were looking for Amy, and I was feeling quite impressed, really. But I was talking to the girl, one of the girls particularly, was quite chatty. Showing us around, and just asked her, how do you find the school? You know, if you have struggles, do you get support, or is there bullying? And, you know, anyway. And she said, well, actually, she said, I used to really struggle with self-esteem issues. I'm going to cry again. It makes me cry every time. But then we got this amazing group called LVA. And she said the words, I just nearly choked. And she said, that's really changed things for me. And she said, since then, I'm much more confident and happy in myself. And I just thought, wow. She didn't know that I know about this ministry. And I couldn't wait to tell Kaylee, and say, you'll never guess. Because it's obviously been transformational in her life and however many other lives. So it's just fantastic, the work they do and the work you do.
Thank you. Do you know what I love about that story is that that wasn't just an encouragement for me. It actually came on a day that I was actually really questioning myself. It was I had like 2 weeks of just doing admin. Like, who wants to do admin? I didn't get into this job for admin. And I was just like, what am I actually doing for God's kingdom right now? I really feel like it's not a lot. And then I got that message. But what's really amazing about that message is that Catherine's probably actually prayed for that young person. And I feel like it was God's kindness to you, actually, to say that your prayers matter. Because they do. Your prayers matter. They make a difference. And God is kind. So Generation Z, which is apparently the teenage generation. I looked myself up. Apparently I'm a millennial, but I really don't like that. I feel like I'm not a millennial, but apparently I am. Anyway, Generation Z are crying out for authenticity, for real relationships, for identity, for purpose. And as Christians, we have an amazing window of opportunity before us. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we can show young people the way to redemption, relationship, grace, love in its purest form through Christ who loves us. It is not just the responsibility of charities like us to reach out to young people. It is the responsibility of the church. That's you and that's me. We can seize this opportunity in front of us, all of us. And as followers of Christ, we must be constantly asking ourselves questions such as, and asking them to God, how am I showing the love of Christ? Am I being authentic? Are my relationships superficial? Can the person in front of me trust me to love them without fear of my judgment, without fear of my gossip? It is the responsibility of the church, you and me, to introduce young people to the God of Psalm 139. If you haven't read it, that's your task for today, children. To go away and read Psalm 139. The God who has searched our hearts and knows us. Our God who knows when we sit and when we rise and who is familiar with all of our ways, as scary as that might be. Our loving Father who hasn't just made the hairs on our head. He took the time to number them. Now, you've got people like me and Alice over there. We've got a lot of hair. They're all numbered. It's crazy. Our amazing Creator, who has fearfully and wonderfully made us all and promises that the darkness will not overcome us when we hide in His light. And we do this through demonstrating God's love in the world, through our actions and our words. And I'm going to quote 1 Corinthians 13 again, but this time a little bit before. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. That's how important love is. It is the responsibility of the church to live and love from a place of knowing that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us so that through his resurrection power, we could go out into the darkest corners of the world by his Spirit and bring love, hope, and life to those who need it most. Now, not everyone will be able to stand in front of teenagers and talk about relationships and sex. But every single one of us can bring hope and authentic relationship to the young people in our lives. Whether that's helping in youth groups at church, being kind to a young person on the street, demonstrating authenticity and vulnerability in your home and in your relationships, volunteering in a school, whatever way you can reach out to young people, do it. Now, young people can seem ever so slightly intimidating sometimes. I mean, even my own teenagers can be a bit intimidating. If I wasn't as loud and brash as I am, I'd be pretty scared of my eldest. You may be rejected. I'm going to pretend that you won't be. You may be rejected by young people. They may tell you to bog off or worse. You may get verbal abuse. But that didn't stop Jesus. That did not stop the apostles. So why on earth would it stop us? It's not a reason to give up. It's a reason to push in. We can all do something to impact the era of loneliness and turn it into the era of authentic relationship. It's time for us to put value back into intergenerational relationships and crush isolation and loneliness under our heels with the power of the Holy Spirit that is living in each and every one of us who know the Lord Jesus. And as I round up today's talk, and thank you for being patient with me, I started this talking about my own isolation in the midst of being surrounded. And there was a time a couple of years ago where actually I really felt this isolation. All the horribleness of my childhood came bubbling back up through an incident within my family. And it reminded me how different I am from my siblings. They share stuff with each other that I don't share with them. And one day a friend was praying for me. What she didn't know at the time, she didn't have a clue what I was going through and the isolation and the outsider that I felt. And she shared a picture with me that God gave her whilst praying. It was a ring of fire and all of my family were inside it and I was on the outside of the ring of fire trying to get in. At this point, I started snotting and tearing everywhere. It's like, it's so right, it's so true. God is good. But she caveated this picture by explaining that with God, he is the ring of fire and I am hemmed in. I cannot escape his love for me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the ring of fire dancing around me in a never-ending song. And this is something that I really pray over each and every one of us today, that you will know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dancing around you in a never-ending song. You are never alone when you are with God, and we are God's people. I pray that we will all know the love of Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love that God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We love because he first loved us. Praise Jesus. Amen.